Our first lesson this morning is from the Acts of the Apostles, and here we are again with Paul and Silas in Philippi, reading now from Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 34. Listen for what God has to say to you. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God, who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire family rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. This is the conclusion of a prayer that Jesus was praying in the upper room with his disciples. And in this prayer, he had been praying for his disciples and what would become of them and how they would serve God after Jesus' crucifixion and then resurrection. And in the midst of this prayer, he not only prayed for his disciples, but he prayed for us. And the part that I'm reading today is the prayer that Jesus prayed for us. "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I want to focus this morning primarily on that Acts passage. And let me begin with a question. Is your first response to unexpected adversity to sing hymns and pray? I can see the praying part. God, why is this happening to me? God, take this away from me. God, I'm not happy about this. I can see all that, but singing hymns? I don't think the hymns they're singing are, the trouble I've seen. I don't think that's the hymn they're singing. I believe singing hymns of praise. And their prayers are that of joy and excitement. Is that how we respond? Paul and Silas in jail and praying and singing. And it's exciting what's going on. It reminds me of the letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians years later. And in that prayer, he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all. The Lord is near. Be anxious about nothing, but in everything with prayers and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will be with you in Christ Jesus." And I suspect when the Philippians read that, they remembered that story of Paul in that jail cell with he and Silas singing hymns and praying. And the result of that was that people came to the Lord. We know that the jailer and his household came to Christ. I suspect that woman, the slave girl, that he exercised the demon, the evil spirit out of, came to Christ. And I suspect that the other prisoners came to Christ. Why else would they not have escaped when the earthquake came and opened the doors and loosened the chains? So Paul's having a pretty good day. Other than the beatings and being put in jail, people are coming to Christ, and I'm sure that's what excited him. If he were to have kept a journal, I think the beating would have just been a small footnote. But how people came to Christ, that would get him excited. I can't read this story without thinking about Emilio Beltran. You know, we've been praying for him for the last 4, maybe close to 5 years now. He's the Mexican pastor. He and his wife were falsely accused of crimes that they didn't do. They were put in Mexican prisons. And Ruth just got out about a year ago. Emilio's been in there for probably close to 7 years now. We pray for him for justice. But I suspect he and Paul have a lot in common. They're both unjustly imprisoned. But they're making the best of the situation. Paul and Silas were singing hymns and praying and talking to the other prisoners, talking to the jailer later in his household. Emilio has been bringing prisoners, some of the worst criminals in all of Mexico, bringing them to Christ and discipling them and making them pastors, and has started numerous churches within this prison. And when these men are released and get out, they start new churches outside of the prison. Prisons that are churches that reach the unloved, the forgotten, the least in society. I suspect when Emilio gets to heaven, he and Paul are going to have a lot to talk about. I doubt, looking out amongst you, that many of you, if any of you, have ever spent time in prison. At least not the prison that we think of with the walls and the bars and the locked doors. But there are other prisons. There are prisons of addiction, prisons of depression and anxiety, prisons of fear, prisons of poor self-image and self-hating, prisons of anger and hatred, prisons of grief and sorrow, and the list goes on and on. Things that lock us up, that hold us back, that suppress us and keep us down. And we get locked up into these prisons. And we're probably not following Paul's example of singing hymns and praying. Or if we are praying, it's probably those prayers of complaint or prayers of, "Where are you, God?" We need to learn from Paul and Silas how to deal with these prisons. And to recognize that Jesus frees us from these type of prisons. We also need to recognize that we don't face all this alone. I suspect there's no prison that is holding us that is so unique that somebody else in this church hasn't experienced something similar. And that we could walk together and encourage one another, pray for one another, lift one another up so that we're not in these prisons by ourselves. What holds us back is our pride. Holds us back is our not wanting to feel embarrassed or weak. We hold on to that image of the rugged individualism that has made this country what it is. And we don't share our weaknesses and our sorrows and those things that can help others. When we get together to encourage one another. Sometimes I think AA is a better church than most churches are. In AA, the basic message is one drunk helping another drunk to stay sober. And the church should be a sinner helping other sinners not sin. We should be there for one another, helping and serving one another, being set free from those prisons that enslave us. My favorite sermon illustration of all time, I want to share with you because it's about being set free. And some of you have heard it probably two or three times. But I haven't done it in a long time, and we have new people that haven't been here since then, so they haven't heard it. So let me share this. My friend Ray Bakke is the one that told this to me, and he heard it firsthand from the guy who experienced it. His name was Murdo MacDonald. He's a very Scottish name. And during World War II, he was a paratrooper, but he was also a chaplain. And he parachuted behind German lines, and he was captured and put in a prison camp. He and another chaplain were both in this camp. And this particular camp separated the Americans and the British with a big fence right down the middle. And they wouldn't let the two sides congregate together at the fence. It kept them totally separate. But each day they would let the two chaplains come in together and say, have a few minutes together. And MacDonald was in the American camp and the other one was in the British camp. Unbeknownst to the Germans, the Americans had built a homemade wireless radio. And they were able to get news from the outside. And when you're totally cut off from the outside, one of the things you desire the most is some news. So each day, MacDonald would come to the fence, and the other chaplain would come, and they would talk a little bit. And through trial and error, they discovered that the Germans did not understand Gaelic. So each day, MacDonald would throw in a headline in Gaelic, so that the news would travel to the other side. Well, then there was the day that the news came that the Germans had surrendered and the war was over. And McDonald comes to the fence and he shares it with the other chaplain. And then he lingers at that fence, waiting for the response that he knew would come when the other chaplain made it to the barracks. And there was this wild, jubilant cheer that came forth. And the next 3 days, the gates were locked, the machine guns were pointing inside, and the German guards were making their patrols. But the prisoners were different. They were standing taller. They were exceedingly happy and joyful and excited. They weren't complaining about anything. They weren't complaining about the food or anything else. And on the fourth day, they woke up. They discovered the guards were gone and the gates were unlocked and they were free. But the interesting thing is, McDonald said, we really were made free when we heard the good news that the war was over. And that's the same with us and the good news of the gospel. You know, you can. This is the difference between advice and good news. We seek to have good advice to help us make our decisions. But the good news of Jesus Christ doesn't offer advice, but it offers a changed life, something that comes from the inside and works its way out. And this good news touches every aspect of our lives, and it frees us from those prisons that have held us captive. It is why Paul and Silas could sing hymns and pray prayers of praise in that prison, in that jail cell. It's why Emilio Beltran can continue on in preaching the gospel in that Mexican prison. And it's why we can be set free from the power of sin and death. This is the good news, that Christ has come to set us free and that the Holy Spirit has come to empower us and equip us and to change us so that we can go out into the world and be a light that shines forth. That we can be the answer to that prayer that Jesus had of let them be one as the Father and the Son are one. And we can experience the love that God had for Jesus because that same love is extended to us. So hear the good news. In Christ, we are set free. So come, Holy Spirit, fill us, empower us, and equip us to be your people. Amen.